Ryan Kelly. One of the best parts of my job is talking with all of our happy past clients at closing. I always ask, what took you so long to call? The most common response is, I didn't think you could help me. At thehomeloanexpert.com, we underwrite, close, and fund all of our own loans. And that means we can make a loan for about anyone. We do FHA, VA, conventional, jumbo, loans for business owners. Heck, we do it all. So what are you waiting for? Start saving now, thehomeloanexpert.com. The Home Loan Expert LLC.
Haven't seen the beautiful patio at Kirkwood Brewhouse yet? What are you waiting for? It's a great place to hang out before, during, and after Cardinal games while enjoying some of the coldest beer in town, exclusively featuring Missouri craft brews. Right next door to the 590 The Fan Studios, we'll see you on the patio at Kirkwood Brewhouse.
On this side of the law, on that side of the law, who is right, who is wrong, who is for and who's against the law?
That's right, the harmony with Johnny Cash was provided by yours truly. Now, there's a real smart guy named Phil who's already on hold. See, he gets how this works, and he knows he'll be first. And not yet, not yet. Got introduced to Scott. If you'd like to be second or third or fourth, here are the numbers. 314-821-0590. Do it again. 314-821-0590. As lines open, now they're all full, but they will open up. Some people will give up. Others will be finished. You talk to Scott, the line is clear. So you try that one or this one. 855-282-8255. 855-282-8255. That's it. Scott Sherman is brought to you by Peroni's Pizza. P-I-R-R-O-N-E-S. I spell it because when you send people to websites, they need to know how to spell it, or they get frustrated and give up. And this one is worth checking out. Peroni'sPizza.com. I think what I need for you to know is that Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., Peroni's has a tremendous all-you-can-eat buffet. And on Fridays, it includes their fantastic chicken wings. Peroni's Pizza, two locations, Florissant and St. Peter's. Would you please say hello to the man who every Thursday helps people with free legal advice because he is an attorney at law, Scott Sherman.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you, guys. Happy and glad to be here.
In just a few seconds, a minute or less, before we take the calls, what is, if you ever had one, the hardest real labor you ever had to perform as part of a job?
Freshman year of college, I did not do so well. My stepdad was running a tool and die shop.
Ooh, that's hard.
My job that summer was to go with him at 5:30 in the morning, and my tool of work was a broom. And I had to sweep up all the filings and everything else that they were doing stamping, and it was a 50,000 square foot building. And then when I was done with that, I got to power wash trailers and paint them in the 100-degree heat.
That is work.
That was the last time I screwed around in college or in school.
Oh, that was your punishment?
Essentially, yes. He said, hey, here's your future.
Yeah.
This broom. See these guys here that make by hand these dies to make auto parts? You're not good enough to do that. So here's your broom, smart college guy. And it worked.
For him. And look at you now. Here you are on 590 The Fan.
That's exactly right.
Of all your accomplishments.
Where's that broom?
I think if you listed them in order of importance, attorney at law would not be top of the list. It would be that you made it onto 590 The Fan.
I'm really glad I did that, not just because that was a horrible job in the 100-degree heat all summer long in Detroit, but I got to meet people that really work with their hands. And to me, the people that do that are great at that, I have as much, if not more, respect for than surgeons and other people who also work with their hands.
And not to take anything away from those people, but I know exactly what you're saying.
Yep.
The surgeons, we still certainly
need them. That's
yeah.
right.
All right.
But
phones are stacked up, and let's start with Phil because he was smart and got in first. Phil, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott Sherman. It's been a long time since I've been called smart.
Well, Phil.
Well, you were smart today.
Yeah. Well, today, finally, my mom and dad wound up in a nursing home, and anyway, we didn't put it in a trust, and believe me, you guys do it, because they went downhill fast. But they were both passed, and of course, now there's a Medicaid lien. Now, I've been living on the property for 18 years in a little separate house, helping take care of them, And Medicaid told me, I believe it was at Fredericton, Missouri, that I can stay here the rest of my life, but if I ever decide to sell, Medicaid wants their money, which I understand. My mom and dad is very well taken care of. But my question is, can Medicaid charge interest on the money that's owed?
I've not seen that. I think that the liens that I have seen for medical, and I deal with it in the injury case portion, not only do they not charge interest, but they're negotiable down. So if they're claiming $10,000 or something, you can make a deal with them where they will take less based on hardship and other things. Sometimes you can actually ask for a waiver. But what I would do is consult, because it is attached to the property they left to you.
Yes.
I would have a conversation with an estate planning lawyer and a real estate lawyer. And the good news for you is I happen to know someone who's both. And send me an email, and we'll run this fact pattern by them and see what, if anything, can be done about, if not reducing that lien, maybe eliminating it. I mean, they're pretty flexible. I know that folks say, oh, gee whiz, you know, Medicaid and Medicare are all over us about what they paid, but they're way more flexible than some of these private health plans are that want every dime and they want it first. So send me an email and we'll get you to some.
I will. I hope I didn't make a mistake, because my lawyer that I got involved, it was going to close the estate to get it in my name, said, well, you know, they can charge interest and this and that. I'm like, oh, no, what did I do here?
Bill, did you have any advance notice that your parents were going to probably have to go in a nursing home?
I tried to talk them to putting into a state probably about 3 or 4 years before they went downhill. They both wound up with Parkinson's and wound up in a nursing home.
Well,
and I didn't want to argue with my mom and dad, and all of a sudden it hit, and they wound up at the nursing home, and here I am.
Well, before we let you go, do you have Scott's email address?
LawOfficeofScottSherman@gmail.com.
See, that's twice you've been smart.
Wow.
You know?
Well, I better cool on the head or go play the lottery then.
No kidding. I didn't say lucky. I said smart. If you're smart, yeah, play the lottery, but don't do anything else. Thank you, Phil.
Thank you.
I'm glad he called, and here's why. And you know more about this than I do. I learned a long time ago, if you have older parents, sooner rather than later, see to it that they have nothing. On paper, you know what I mean? Because Medicaid will take it. They will take it from them. If they think that you have anything, they're going to want you to pay for decent health care or a decent nursing home, not one of these places where they let you lie in bed sores and stuff. If you want in there, if they have anything, they're going to get it. But if they have nothing, they can't. So transfer it early into the son's, daughter's name, whatever.
And that
right?
doesn't mean that your folks have to walk around with a barrel around their naked bodies. It just means that you would take their items that they personally own and put them into a vehicle, a thing called a trust, and then a trustee would give them sort of like an allowance. So they don't have to walk around in rags. They don't have to live broke. They just have to be broke.
But then you don't have to turn over the money from the sale of your home to Medicaid.
That's right. And that is one where it's a loophole that people need to take advantage of, because there are people who on Monday were worth $50 million and on Wednesday are technically worth nothing, and they're living very well, and they can pass all of the things that they made to their loved ones in a way that avoids as much tax as possible, and these Medicare paybacks, it's called subrogation, but it's designed to avoid the seizure of that which you have earned in your lifetime. It's very important to do.
All right, a line is open because that call ended. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Bullet, say hi to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott Sherman, AM in the PM.
Thank you.
And another thing, Peroni's Pizza, awesome.
Thank you.
And I got to say real quick about hard jobs, and you just touched on this yesterday. I worked for the moving company for 10 years at Fry Wagner, and I tell you what, which it is, top-notch place to work for.
I was so impressed when they moved my son and his wife. I've seen other moving companies. I used to deliver furniture. These people were, I'll call them when I need to move. What do you got for Scott?
All right, I got a real estate question. I bought another house to basically flip, and I'm remodeling this thing. Well, come to find out, this thing had a lagoon on it, and we found out that this house, when I bought it from this guy, was condemned. This guy never disclosed it to me, and so now I have to put a septic system in it. Is there any recourse that I can go to this guy and, you know, because, like I said, he did not disclose this to me when I bought it, that this house was condemned about 3 years prior to that.
Okay, I'm going to have a quick answer from me, the non-attorney but amateur wannabe attorney. Yes, there absolutely should be some recourse. Here, Scott.
Frank's right. Unless this was like a courthouse step sale or some kind of quick, no recourse, as-is sale, that non-disclosure is a breach of that contract, and the damages you incurred by those non-disclosures, you should be able to go after him. You also might be able to go after the title company, because, you know, I know what a lagoon is, but I only know that from Gilligan's Island. So I don't know if some kind of lagoon is something that that had an encumbrance on it or was something the title company could search. But when you're dealing with a person that doesn't tell you that stuff, and they have an agent. Did he have an agent, like a real estate agent?
No, I bought it, you know, from him. Personally.
Bullet. Yeah, Scott just brought up something very, very, very important, though. Was it an as-is sale?
Well, it was kind of as-is, but he did a title search on it and showed me the title search, which I still have. That way, there's no liens or anything else on the property.
But was there a disclosure statement that was part of this sale?
Not that I know of.
Whoops.
Is the lagoon considered to be a wetland? Is it something where he was required by federal law to tell you that because it had to be protected? Or is this just an expensive, plumbing issue? Bullet.
He's gone. We lost him.
We
lost him. Here's the deal. Here's the deal. You tell me.
Yeah.
Because my son asked me this the other night. You can sell your home, your property as is, correct? Even if you have real estate agent, you can sell as is. This is it. You buy it as is.
I think there's some things you have to disclose by law, like asbestos and lead paint, stuff like that.
But I know someone that just did that and sold it as is. She needed a new air conditioner, new furnace, new electric box, all kinds of new things, but she sold it as
okay,
is.
Different, though.
Yeah. That's why I was asking him, is this a plumbing nightmare question, or is this a mandated disclosure question? If this is just a plumbing problem where there's a lagoon and he's got to put in a new septic tank because it sort of washed into the septic tank, as is, to me, is as is.
Yeah.
But if he didn't disclose lead paint and he didn't disclose asbestos, that's not okay.
Okay.
So I would say real estate lawyer and have it right away. And if he's listening, and I know he is, lawofficeofscottsherman@gmail.com. I've got a real estate person who will absolutely know that. But I'm tilting my position to the, rather than the.
Yeah.
But she didn't have to replace any of that because she sold it as is. She didn't have to replace.
Yeah, but that's different than buying a house that had been condemned.
Well, condemned, yeah. I know. That's so strange.
Let me get Randy in here. Randy, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hi, Scott Sherman.
Hi, Randy.
Hey. Yeah, I got a question about getting a will made, but also I want to thank you for represented my daughter last winter. She had her leg amputated, and I want to let you know she's got her prosthetic leg, and she's going to town, so she's on the road to recovery.
Good for her.
Buddy, she is a great kid, and they don't know the story, but I'm telling you, one of the greatest, toughest, smartest, best-mannered young women I've ever met is your daughter.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. She is, she's got a big heart. But back to my question, my wife and I need to get a will made, and I just wanted you to know what you best avenue to go about it.
Remember the place we were at?
Yes, I do.
That one. Send me an email, and I'll line you up with the guy over there that does that.
And it won't be that expensive. And a simple will is not expensive.
And we use will sort of like we use the term Kleenex. I'm talking about an estate planning program. You know, it can be a will. It could be a trust. You
a don't will, have to a be will, wealthy. Correct me if I'm wrong. A will is simple and not expensive, but usually a will is not enough.
And not only that, a will must be probated. Trusts do not necessarily have to be probated.
Right.
And a lot of these non-probate transfers, things like titling your house, joint tenant with right of survivorship, titling your vehicles with transferable on death, or your bank accounts payable on death, a lot of things that don't have to go through probate are great. In addition to a will, or in sort of in lieu of a will. So the idea is to keep things out of probate, get your wishes on paper, and have these things done as simply and as economically as possible. The idea is not to clog up the probate court and cost a bunch of money and heartache. It's hard enough when you lose a parent or someone. The idea is to get from point A to point B the least expensive and the simplest way possible. Frank always talks about value when it comes to construction projects. It's about value in the legal services for the estates, too.
Randy, a lot of people shy away from estate planning because they think it costs too much. I think when I sat down and did my will, trust, and the whole thing, I think it was like $2,500. And, yeah, I walked out of there going, yikes! But if I hadn't done it, I would wish for the rest of... Well, I wouldn't. I'd be dead. My wife would wish that I had and probably be, like, spitting on my ashes because it saves everybody so much headache and so much money to just bite the bullet and do it right. The only time to me, and Scott can correct me if I'm wrong, that you only need a will is if you're worth about $300. You know, if you don't have anything but a few $100, a couple thousand maybe, do a will. Or you want to leave Grandpa's shotgun to somebody. Other than that, if there's any reasonable value to the estate, do it all. Get it all done so the probate people can't touch it, okay? I know you know Scott's email address. Thank you so much for the call, and good luck to your daughter.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay, Randy.
Thanks, Randy.
And this will be Dawn. Go away. I'm no good for you. Dawn, say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hi, Scott. And I'm AM and PM.
Thank you.
I'm Scott. I just wanted to ask you a question.
Don, I have to get you to talk directly into the phone because it's a little muffled like that.
Yeah, I don't know why.
There you go. There you go.
All right. I just wanted to know about what your thoughts are. Is there a law in St. Louis County against Airbnbs?
Airbnb?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, my answer would be no, there's no law against them, Scott.
I don't think there's one.
Well, I went online and to look it up, you know, just to see, you know, is there a law, is there restrictions? I couldn't find anything. But apparently what they're doing is going around and fining people like up to $500 if you start one.
Based on what? What law did you break?
I'm thinking about doing this. And because we have a whole huge downstairs with the refrigerator and all the amenities downstairs.
It almost makes me wonder if this is not some scam that somebody's claiming to be. And I'm serious. Somebody's claiming to be, you know, the Division of Housing and Securities, blah, 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 and sorry, we're going to fine you $500, when in fact they have no authority to do that at all. Tim, yes.
Tim has
something here. What?
It's not illegal in St. Louis County. What's happening is these municipalities like Chesterfield and Maplewood are creating their own ordinances as to whether or not you can do it within the property boundaries of those municipalities, and some municipalities have banned it. I believe Ladue banned it. Maplewood and Chesterfield have had issues with it as well, but it's not a St. Louis County-wide ban.
But I wonder how in the world an entire municipality can buy. I can understand a subdivision saying, or our condo complex, that we don't want you, you know, being an Airbnb, but a whole municipality?
It's because the hotels are complaining that it's unfair competition to take away people that would stay with them and pay taxes, which go into the community, whereas the Airbnb doesn't necessarily report, you know, a lot of the income or their side deals.
It's like the
whatever.
Uber cab company thing.
Yep.
It does sound.
Well, you know, and that's what it's being, you know, I spent like 2 hours online just looking at everything, and that's really what it's compared to, like, you know, Lyft and Uber and all of them, and which they finally did succeed. And not to, like, you know, put a downer, Debbie Downer on anything, but I live right down the street from Siteman Cancer Center, and both my husband and I both have cancer, And so what I would like to do while we're still able is to do this at a very low cost to help. Because, you know, when I'm there, I talk to people all the time, and it's really hard for them to have to stay at Holiday Inn. Or
it seems to me that all you have to do is contact the city officials in the municipality where you live.
I've got an online suggestion.
Okay.
Now, you live down the street from Siteman. Are you in the city or are you in a county?
County.
Okay. Whatever municipality you live in, everyone has ordinances that are online. And you can go and just put in whatever city you are and put ordinances. And you can look up every single one of these. And you will know better because you can read and speak English than even probably the clerk in the town you live in. And the restrictions on residences will be in there. And I would start doing your own research. If you need a little help, send me an email. I'd like to learn this myself. I don't like this, and this is going to take somebody to file a lawsuit against these cities, and again, it's going to cost money. But I would bet that those restrictions are going to ultimately be unconstitutional because you do have a right to have whoever you want, as long as they're not committing a crime, in your house. And if you want to charge them money or not charge them money, I think that's your business. And whatever you pay or don't pay in taxes is between you and the IRS.
Except that when you have them in your house and you're taking money, you are now a commercial enterprise. It's now business.
Well, they don't ban renting. You know, they don't tell landlords, you know, we don't like in Ladue, we want owners.
Yeah, but
here.
I get her point. Renting is not competing with a hotel. People don't rent a hotel usually for a year.
Right. But then again, people who come into town may or may not want to stay in an Airbnb, and I think they'll let the market figure it out. But to have these municipalities pick and choose losers and winners, I don't like that, and I don't think that's legal. So at this point, they may have an ordinance. It hasn't been challenged yet. I would check and see if you have one, and if you're willing to put up the money, I have some real estate guys that would like to sue these cities. But for right now, if it has it, okay, you got to decide if you're going to get fined or not. But just like when red light cameras started to become a wave of the future, they got sued. Guess how many communities in Missouri still have red light cameras that are operating? One.
None.
Hannibal.
Oh.
And I got a case up there, and that's the only reason I know about it.
Hey, if Dawn can do this, if she finds out there's no ordinance against it, could she go to Siteman and say, look, we have a right here next door, basically, a wonderful place. You're welcome to come check it out and approve it. And if you would like to make that available to patients or families of patients, that would be, could she do that?
Absolutely. I think it'd be a great idea. There's a hotel that's attached to Barnes Hospital.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of people who, part of the Children's Hospital for decades, they need to stay and they can't just sit in that room for days on end. So
Here's my other suggestion. Sometimes we're too afraid of things. And let's say you had somebody stay there for, what are we talking, maybe a week, 3 days, 4 days, right?
It depends on what's, you know, there's all kinds of, you know, naturally, you know, radiation, chemo.
You know, to me, the worst thing that could happen is you might get a letter or something from the municipality saying, hey, you can't do that. And you go, okay, I won't do it again. I mean, Scott, does that make sense?
Yeah. Or another way around it, because Ronald McDonald House has been doing this for a long time, set up a small little charity, like a 501c3. If you don't want to make a profit off of it and your motivation is to make it easier for these families of these sick kids, create a charitable organization, have them look for donations, maybe they donate, and as long as you're not making a profit off of it, there might be an exemption.
Okay, I have a feeling that she and her husband would like to be able to make some money on it.
I don't blame her.
You know,
I would too.
Well, I'm not looking to, like, you know, make some fortune here.
No, but you like to, yeah, but I mean, you don't want to do it just for the heck of it. I mean,
no, because there's a lot of, you know,
it's work.
A lot of, I just spent last month scrubbing downstairs from top to bottom to make sure that
we got to run. But I hope you're able to do this. I really do. Okay. And I hope you're able to make some money on it and help somebody who has a family member over there. Do you have Scott's email address?
Yes, I do.
Okay. What is it?
Law Office of Scott Sherman at gmail.com.
Well, she does. She really.
The reason I know is because I emailed Scott and willed. I heard the other guy about the will, and I've already got in touch with that guy, and we're have everything all set up, and I think I go see him the week after next.
Okay, well, good luck with this. Thank you for calling and listening. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Joe is next. Joe, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott.
Hello, Joe.
I'm just wondering, are a court document, is that available for public record? Can I see it if it's for, like, my son, or how is that?
Can I take it? In almost every case, the answer is yes. Here's Scott.
Frank's right. Ring the bell. Unless the judge has placed some sort of block on it, or had it redacted, or made it such that people couldn't get access to it, you can get access to it.
Now let's get right to what he wants. You obviously, there's something you want to take a look at, Joe. What would, just without getting too specific, what is it? And Scott can tell you how to find it.
Well, long story short, my son ran away from home a few years ago, got a girl pregnant, got married, and of course, you know, it lasted maybe a year because he was 17 years old at the time. They got divorced, and, you know, now me and my wife can no longer see our grandson, and it's been, you know, 2 years since we've seen him. He's almost five now, so we're just trying to, he says that he signed, that she says that he signed a paper saying he gave up all his rights, but he says he didn't sign it, so I'm just trying to see, you know, basically if it's his signature on there, or if they forged it, or what exactly
happened. Who has the two-year-old? She does?
Yes. She's got, I guess you could say, full custody, because we don't ever get to see him, so.
And who is it that says you can't see him? Is that your son's decision?
No, that's her saying that he signed papers giving up all his rights. And
You have the right to see those papers. There's such a thing as grandparents' rights. There really is. You have the right to see that document. Here's Scott.
Joe, here's what I want you to do for free. Go on to, okay. Is this a Missouri thing?
Yes.
Go on to CaseNet. Actually, if you go into Google, put case.net, Missouri courts, and you can put in your son's name.
Mm-hmm.
It may be done as an in re your grandson's name, but start with your son's name and see if a case comes up, and go looking through the docket and see what the minutes say. You won't actually be able to see the actual document because you don't have the right access code. But if you can narrow down the case number and you give me an email, I've got the ability to do that. I can look that up and print the document out in question. And if that isn't what you're looking for, you can go to the courthouse, give the case number to the clerk, they'll pull it, and you can review the file. And that is public, unless it's a closed file and the judge says that it can't be looked at.
And that's probably not the case. Joe, why would your son, why would he have signed something like that? Giving up the right to see his own child.
I really don't know.
But she's telling you that, right?
Yes.
Have you asked him if he signed something like that?
We have, and he says he didn't sign it, and she says that he signed it. So, you know, it's.
Well, you know, I'm like calling BS.
I'm about my wife calls, you know, crying every night about it. You know, she don't get to see her grandkid, and you know, it's just.
I don't blame her. I'm calling BS on her. And I'm saying shame on him for not fighting for his own child and for you to have the right to see that child.
Yeah, Joe, you've got me interested enough in this. Send me an email and I'll do it for you. And just in the email, give me enough information that I can find your son or this girl or both. And we'll get to the bottom of it. And you deserve that.
Joe, I hate to say this, but most of this is on your son.
No, I understand. Yeah, you know, he went through a few rough years, you know. And
No, forget the rough years. He's treating you like crap right now. You have a grandchild, and he's keeping you from seeing your own grandchild. That's very painful.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't know why a kid would do that. Does he hate you? When he left at 70, I mean, were you on bad terms? Did you not, were not speaking or what?
I don't know. I guess he didn't like the way I was raising him, you know, but, you know, I don't know.
Joe, it's very selfish. He's very selfish. It's very selfish of him. And I'm going to guess and hope that in time sometimes is like the greatest healer and fixer. that he'll realize what a jerk he's being, and that unless you really were a horrible dad, I don't know you, maybe you were, then he doesn't want you being around. Is it a boy, grandson?
Yeah, boy.
Yeah. Then maybe you're a drunk, you beat your wife. I don't know. except for something like that. I think he's confused and screwed up, and she's obviously controls him, and hopefully he will come to his senses. But do you have Scott's email address?
I do. LawOfficeOfScottSherman@gmail.com.
Yes, and I didn't hear you, but it's singular. Law Office. Of yep. Scott Sherman. Okay,
glad I'll look this up. I'll look this up tonight.
Yeah, I really hope you can get to be with your grandson, because it's one of the greatest. I don't even know how to put it. Things that can happen to somebody, and I'm going to guess you will. Just get a hold of Scott. He'll go after this for you.
All right, I greatly appreciate it.
All right, Joe. Thank you.
Thank you.
Wow,
man. That never helps the child. You know, the whole thing about kids is both him and her.
I think she's lying, like you said.
Absolutely.
She's absolutely lying.
It's about this. Here, I want people to memorize this. This is real law talk. Best interest of the child. If you have a kid, and that's not your mantra, if that's not what you think about every day, every time you pick him or her up from school, every time they wake up and go to bed, every time they play a ball game, every time they have a meal, you're not a good parent.
No.
The best interest of the child, and you could adding grandparents to that, if you're not incorporating and putting all your petty BS away for the best interest of that child, S-talking the other parent, criticizing the other parent when they're not around, being a selfish you-know-what, you are hurting that kid, and you're not fit to be a parent. Best interest of the child, or you're not in the right business.
Perfect. We got to take a quick break. It'll be quick. Hang on, Tony, Bob, Brent, hang on. We will get to you. If you be patient, this won't take long. I don't know. Well, I do know why there are so many people who don't go to the dentist. Because the last time they went out of there in pain and said, I'm never doing this again. I'll take some aspirin or Aspergum. You ever have any Aspergum? You know, remember what that is?
Yes.
When I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
Aspergum. You may think you'll be able to do that, but you won't. Because here's the hard, cold truth. You're going to be back in the dental chair. You are. And the longer you put it off, the next time you get in there, it's going to be very expensive. Because you spent way too much time neglecting your teeth. Now, that's the first group of people that I want to talk to about Ballast Dental Care. The second group is those of you whose your teeth are fine. You've been going to a dentist. You went to a dentist 6 months ago, a year ago, 2 years ago. I still would like for you to make an appointment at Ballast Dental Care, and I'll tell you why. My dentist is better than your dentist. You really will, I think, find that, wow, I didn't really mind going to my dentist, but I actually look forward to going back to this place. It's that kind of place. I can't explain to you exactly why. You'll get it when you're in there about 5 minutes. From the minute you walk up and check in and they take you back, in a matter of just a few minutes, you're going to feel like you've been a patient there for a long time, because that's the way they're going to treat you. They're not going to treat you like, wow, I just saw your charts. What's the matter with you? You haven't been to the dentist in 15 years? What are you, nuts? They're not going to do that to you. They're going to get to work on getting you back where you should be, teeth and gum wise. Ballast Dental Care. I know what I'm talking about. I've been going there 45 years. They're at the corner of Ballast and Clayton Roads. You can find out more, including the number, at ballastdentalcare.com.
Time for a check on traffic. Here's Tori Lyons.
Traffic's brought to you by Staples. Accident southbound 270 between Page and Olive. You've got delays eastbound 270 as you make your way from 370 all the way to Washington Elizabeth. Accident eastbound 70 at Lucas and Hunt. Eastbound 64 at Big Bend. We had an earlier accident. That's stacking up southbound 170 near Page. Don't forget, it is an early baseball game tonight, getting underway at 6:15. Accident southbound Kings Highway at Filer. Southbound 141 at Dutch Mill. They cleared that accident. They also cleared southbound Clarkson north of Clayton. And still working an accident eastbound 30 at High Ridge. Stop by Staples for your small business and take advantage of the back-to-school deals, like a 12-pack of Staples ballpoint stick pens for 97 cents and 1-inch three-ring binders for just $1.92. In-store only, offer ends 9-1 while supplies last, limit 30. Staples, the back-to-school specialty store. I'm Tori Lyons reporting for 590 The Fan. Now back to The Large Morning Show in the afternoon.
What is a relationship red flag? Maybe your lover is spending more time texting than ever before, a new cell phone password perhaps, working later than ever, less interested in the bedroom. These are all red flags, and if you need to know the truth, you may want to consider a private investigator. Hi, I'm Tim Woodburn. My firm has been helping citizens, law firms, and insurance companies throughout the state for the last 10 years. Gateway Investigations, when you need to know the truth. 238-1367, or visit us online, gatewaypi.net, or email me, tim@gatewaypi.net.
At Elysium Restoration and Design, they specialize in interior home renovations, including bathroom and kitchen remodeling, basements, additions, garages, and more. They offer start-to-finish solutions for every project while providing full design services with custom work to fit your needs. Elysium's lead carpenters have at least 10 years' experience, so you know the work is done the right way. And being a family-run business, they take the time to communicate every step of the way. Check out Elysium Restoration and Design at erdstl.com.
When you go out to dinner, it should be magical. There are lots of good restaurants in St. Louis, but tonight, we want great. Picture a place where the patio is lined with trees, and in the breeze, there's the smell of Grecian shrimp, pork chops, hand-cut fillets, and veal coming from an ancient-looking Greek oven, and it's no less inviting inside in a beautiful dining room with a service fit for a king and a queen. You just discovered Spiro's in St. Charles, where the dining experience is unique and unparalleled, where Spiro's believes the best food is meant to be shared, so the portions are designed for a communal dining experience. Sample remastered Mediterranean dishes prepared by master chefs, then share this experience with friends, family, and loved ones. You have found Spiro's in St. Charles, and dining out will never be the same until you come back. Spiro's at 2275 Bluestone Drive in St. Charles, off First Capital.
Can't make every home Mizzou football game this season? No problem. Mizzou Athletics has you covered with the three-game mini plan option. Pick any three home football games besides Georgia at a discounted price. Show me a great deal. Mini plans start at just $135 for three games. Choose from great games like homecoming versus Memphis or SEC matchups against Kentucky, Vanderbilt, and Arkansas. Order your three-game mini plans today by calling 1-800-CAT-PAWS or visiting MUTigers.com. We'll see you at the zoo.
What does USDA Prime Beef really mean? USDA Prime Beef is the ultimate superior grade cut of beef. It has the highest degree of marbling and it's derived from younger beef, which is why USDA Prime is only found at upscale restaurants. And at Surf and Sirloin, located in the southwest quadrant of Manchester and 270, that's what's for dinner. The USDA Prime New York Strip Ribeye and Porterhouse. And Surf and Sirloin is also now hiring servers, hostesses, and bartender positions. Call 822-3637 or check them out online, surfandsirloin.com.
All right, Don, if you're still listening, Scott has something to say to you real quickly.
Depending on where you live, Don, you can go to MuniCode, MUNICODE.com. That has most of Missouri's ordinances, and you can search those. Or you can go to E-Code 360, which has most of the rest of them, and put the city you live in, and you should be able to figure out what the rules are with respect to running some kind of B&B or AB&B or whatever that is out of your house.
She just now scrambled to get a pen and paper, so give them both to her again.
MuniCode, MUNICODE.
.com. Or .gov.
Yes.
Which is it?
.com. Okay. It's a private deal.
Okay.
And then E-Code 360, the letter E, C-O-D-E, then the number 360.com.
Okay. Brent is next. Brent, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Scott Sherman, hello. Frank, AM and PM.
Thank you, Brent.
Got a question. I just turned on the radio when you mentioned the only city with the red light camera, Hannibal. I do a lot of business up there, and I got busted on the red light deal, and I was questioning whether or not to pay it, and apparently I missed my court date, and they sent me a letter saying that if I don't pay it, they're going to put a warrant out for my arrest. So what do I do about that?
Don't pay it, because unlike the other red light camera tricks they tried, Hannibal will charge 2 points against your driver's license like it's a moving violation if you pay it. Hire a lawyer. It looks like they can do it through the mail. I've got one right now I'm working on for a listener, believe it or not, and I think they will send an amendment like they do around here when you get a speeding ticket with a no-point amendment opportunity, or it's definitely worth the effort to talk to a lawyer, if not me in Hannibal, about getting that amended. Never take points on your license lying down if you can.
Yep. So how do I hire you? Go to scottshermanlawoffice.com.
No, boy, got it all messed up.
It's a good one.
Limey,
like
gotta give him a buzzer. He messed it all up. That was close. Give it to him, Scott.
lawofficeofscottsherman@gmail.com.
Okay, law office, singular.
Right. Okay. Of Scott Sherman. Two T's in Scott. And by the way, this is not going to cost you a fortune.
No.
Okay.
Right. Well, the ticket's like $168.
Plus 2 points.
Mm. Yeah. And don't pay it. And if they do come get you and arrest you and put you in jail for a while, jail's not that horrible. I mean, you know, it's I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
And you'll still get 2 points.
Yeah. And you keep save your points.
The idea is to keep your points off your license.
And like Scott said, don't take this lying down. And by the way, if you go to jail, don't take that lying down either. If you do, lie on your back.
No.
Yeah. All right, Brad, good luck.
All right, thank you.
Thank you for listening. Bye. Bob is next. Bob, welcome to 590 The Fan, and say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, if I created a company, like if I was like a mobile lawnmower blade sharpening company, and I went to your house and I sharpened your lawnmower blades, and you know, for a fee, and I found out somebody else was already doing that, can they trademark that service? Or
you mean like Sling Blade lawnmower service or something?
They can't. They can't trademark the service.
The name.
The name they can, but nobody can own the right to go house to house and sharpen lawnmower blades.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, you have every right to do that.
And if you want to check and see if a cool name's available for free, you can go to the Missouri Secretary of State's office and put in name search under the businesses. And you can go to the U.S. Patent Trademark Office website and do a search there. You don't need a lawyer to search and see if the name's available. You can do the same thing if you're in Illinois or any state.
Bob, Scott just gave you some good free advice. I'm going to do something I almost never do. Well, that's not true. I've done it before. I'm going to go ahead and suggest a name for you for your service.
Okay.
Blade Runner. You're running from house to house. No, you're running from house to house. You're sharpening blades. Go for it. Blade Runner. It's a popular name, a popular movie. If I did that for a company, I'd charge them $5,000. And I'm not kidding. And I have done that in the past and been paid to do it. Check and see if Blade Runner is available. And if it's not, grab it and go for it.
And just because it's a movie doesn't mean you can't use it, because they're not using it in that business. It's just,
by the way,
that's
Scott,
a copyright.
It wouldn't even matter. Movie titles are not copyrighted. Yep. There are three movies called The Patriot. He can have, if it were a movie and called Blade Runner, you can still use Blade Runner. I check it and see if it's available. There are other names.
There's no website with Blade Runner.
That's the first thing that came to my mind when you said going house to house sharpening. Let me ask you a question. Is there any money in that, though, going to homes and sharpening blades? Is that a real business, you think? You would know better than I would.
No, I was thinking of something else, but then I just wanted to use that to see a scenario to see if you could trademark the actual thing you're doing, but you can only do the name, correct?
Yeah, you don't have to trademark what you're doing. You can do that all day long. You don't have to trademark that with anybody.
Special processes. Let's say you have figured out a way to sharpen blades differently than other people.
Okay, that's different.
You can apply for a patent, but it has to be unique, and it has to be in motion. Like, I don't know, a gumball machine. You put a thing in, you twist it. I'm sure that that's got a patent to it. just the carburetors have a patent to it. But just the idea of going around sharpening people's blades,
no, you don't need
you
anything.
Can't trademark that. But you can trademark a really cool name. And
you might need a business permit of some sort to be in business, but that's the whole different thing. But no, you don't have to answer to anybody to be able to go sharpen blades in people's houses.
BladeRunner.com is already taken.
Well, we're not talking about a website. We're talking about the name of his mobile company.
And are you a Missouri guy?
Missouri.
All right. Well, here, Bob. SOS.MO.gov, the Missouri Secretary of State. Go to the business corporations part, put in the name, and see what comes up. And if it doesn't come up, it's quite likely that that name would be available for you.
That sounds good.
All right.
I really appreciate it. AM in the PM.
Thank you, Bob. We appreciate that. Hallelujah. On we go. We still can get one or two in here. Let's go to Tony. Tony, welcome to 590 The Fan. Hey. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hi, Scott Sherman. Hi, Frank, and everybody else.
Hello, Tony. Tony.
PM.
Thank you.
Hey, Scott, real quick. I was involved in a car accident earlier this year, like January 13th. I got hit from behind, and immediately I felt some pain in the side of my neck. And long story short, I went to my doctor. He did an MRI after x-rays, and he sent me in for physical therapy. I went there about 12 times, and that didn't help. In fact, sometimes it made it worse. So the next step was to go in, see a pain management doctor, and get an injection. Well, the thought of sticking a needle in my neck, just I researched it, and I don't want to do that. At any rate, I got an attorney on the advice of a friend of mine. I went to see him this past Monday, and I had all the paperwork with copies of medical records and police report and everything he needed. And when I left there, I just had a bad feeling about this guy. I just didn't care for him. But stupid me, I signed a contract with him showing that he would get 33 and a third of what we got. I really don't think we're going to get a whole lot. But at any rate, the thing that scares me, the very next day after I saw him, I get a letter from him. And I wish I had it with me. I'm on my way home from work, darn it. But it mumble jumble and says something about representing me in another case, and then at the bottom it said, now you are agreeing to sign with me for 33 and 1/3% plus all the paperwork. So my question to you is, I don't like this guy, and I should have gone to you in the first place, but can I fire him, or since I signed that contract, am I stuck with him?
No, you're not. Here, Scott.
It's one of my favorite questions. Frank's right. You're the boss, applesauce, and... That's what Judge Judy says. Fire him. Buy a letter and say, I don't like you, or, you know, it just isn't going to work out. He would only be entitled to what's called quantum merit, which is the work that he's done so far. And so far, all he's done is talk to you and send you a letter. So if you want to get rid of him, and you can use whoever you like, it doesn't have to be me. You might not like me if you meet me. A lot of people don't. But whoever you're most comfortable with is who you should stay with. And if you want to terminate this gentleman, you do it, but you do it in writing, and you do it because you're just not comfortable with something this important.
Tony, there are a number of attorneys that would be happy to take this case, and the 33 and a third thing is common. Don't let that scare you. They're going to do it on a contingency. The good news is you're not going to pay the guy anything.
And
when he settles, when he gets whatever it is, he gets a third, you get 2/3.
And the fact that you didn't walk out of there knowing everything without having questions, and he didn't seem to answer things satisfactorily, means that he didn't communicate. And that's my biggest problem with lawyers. It's a communications business, and if your clients don't understand what's going on, or you haven't explained it right, then you're not doing a good job, and it's on him, not on you.
But
go,
Scott,
with your gut.
Okay. Help me if I'm wrong. He needs some acknowledgement and confirmation that he has been released from this case.
Fax it and ask for your file.
Yeah. Ask him to cut you loose.
But it's got a date stamp on it.
All right. Tony, if you need any help, you know Scott's email address.
I do. It's lawofficeofscottsherman@gmail.com.
Tony, you've got a case here. That many medical visits, rehab. I've been through this. I got hit 2 years ago this November. Really hard. by a guy doing about 100 miles an hour, okay? I've been in physical therapy, herniated disc. You have a case, and a good attorney will be happy to take it and represent you, and you don't have to put out $1. Good luck.
Okay, Scott, I'll get in touch with you.
All right, Tony, thank you for listening.
After you fire him.
We appreciate it. I have just enough time to thank Scott and to remind all of you that without Peroni's Pizza, he might not be in here every Thursday. So if you want to show your appreciation, get yourself a great big, I suggest, meat pizza from Peroni's Pizza and take advantage of that all-you-can-eat buffet every Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at both locations, Florissant and St. Peter's, P-I-R-R-O-N-E-S, PeroniesPizza.com. Scott Sherman, thank you very much.
Thank you all.
And we'll see you again next Thursday. Sure. Ladies and gentlemen, don't go anywhere. The Playhouse is coming up. It's 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is 590 The Fan, KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, and 590thefan.com, the home of Budweiser.
Good evening, everyone, from the 590 The Fan KFNS studios in Kirkwood. I'm Tim Woodburn under cloudy skies, 81 degrees outside. That is today's high here in St. Louis. We're just minutes away from hour number 3 of the large morning show in the